Accession number 27801, Mrs. Margaret Lees, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mrs. Lees?
Yes, I was born in Hale in Cornwall, in Richard Trevithick's house, the great engineer. My parents?
What was your date of birth?
Oh, my date of birth was Boxing Day, 1920.
And could you tell us a bit about your family background, about your parents and your sort of childhood?
Yes, my father had been in the army and been invalided out of the war, of course. And he was then working for United Dairy, Wilts United Dairies, I think it was called. He took a degree in dairying after the war. My mother, my grandfather on my mother's side, was in the regular army, and she had been travelling on a troop ship before the war and met my father, who was then in the merchant service. He wasn't well enough to go back to it after the war. And he was one of the ship's officers, and they had met on board. And he looked at her and thought, that's the girl I'm going to marry. And he did on her 20th birthday. And incidentally, he forgot the following year that it was her wedding anniversary and her 21st. He never really lived that one down. I had a sister who was 5 years older. When I appeared on the scene, she wanted a brother, and she said, could I please be sent back again? But eventually she got used to me.
Now, did you stay in Hale?
No, I think I must have been about 18 months or 2 years old when we came here to Wells. So I was brought up here. A rather different Wales. It was half the size it is now.
Now, what was life like? Give us an idea of your childhood in Wales then.
Oh, I had a very happy childhood. I don't think I was very successful at school, but I was ill a few times when I was a child, so I got behind with class and things.
Now, tell me, which school did you go to?
Oh, well, first of all, I went to a little dame school. And then I went to a school called Oakley School, which closed many years ago. Then for some funny reason, I was taken away from there and sent to the local high school. And then I was very ill, and I had a governess, which I hated. And then I went to boarding school in the Isle of Wight.
Whereabouts?
Shanklin. Upper Chine School in Shanklin.
Now, how overall were you doing? You were having trouble with the illness. What illnesses were striking you down?
Oh, I don't really remember. I know one of them, the really serious one, they never really did know what the trouble was. I just had a huge swelling on my neck. And, of course, these days it would be coped with penicillin and things, but in those days, no. Anyway, I survived. So.
And what about, how did you, what subjects did you like or dislike at school? Did you have any favourites or things you couldn't do or couldn't
I loved acting. I loved needlework and art and English. Apart from that, I boarding school I didn't like, not because I was homesick, but because a pre-war boarding school for girls was like being in a nunnery.
Well, tell us a bit about the school, because it's not something we've got much about at the museum for obvious reasons. What was a pre-war boarding school like?
Well, I don't know what the others were like, but this one, there were about 120 girls there, I think, and the headmistress, who my sister 5 years before had absolutely loved, I found her sarcastic and I didn't like her at all. And if, for instance, we had to write a letter home every week. Well, that's fair enough. And she would check that we had done this. She didn't read the letters, but she checked it. But if we wanted to write to anybody else, we had to get her permission. And if we wrote to a boy, these terrible things, boys, there was really hell to pay. And she wanted to know exactly why. And I have a friend of mine died, and I had to go to her personally to get permission to write to his parents. And who was he?
And what was the style of teaching like overall?
I didn't think it was terribly good there. They decided I couldn't learn anything. Oh, yes, that's right. It got so bad that in the end I was taken away. and to get my what was then school certificate, which I did brilliantly with a tutor who came for an hour each day through school terms here. I think I went there having got behind, which isn't very fair to her, but no, I would never ever send a child of mine to boarding school, because you get into trouble with your lessons. There's no help at all. No, I didn't like it.
Were you interested in sport or any?
No, that was half my trouble. I didn't like sport much.
Did you have any hobbies, or was acting, could that be considered a hobby as well?
Oh, I think that was considered a hobby. You don't get a lot of time for hobbies at boarding school either. Most peculiar place.
So, how old were you when you left, you know, when your school certificate was 14, was it?
Yes, well, no, a bit older than that, I think. Well, I don't know, but because I had missed some schooling one way or another, and because I got so behind, I did take my school certificate a bit late. I really can't remember what age, but I had taken it by the time the war was obviously coming, and with a jolly good result, but by then I had no idea what I wanted to do. So I decided that I would go and join my sister, who was nursing at St Mary's Hospital in London, just outside Paddington Station.
Now, what year was that?
The year I decided what I was going to do was 1938. And they wouldn't take people under 19 in those days to nurse. Anyway, I had the interview and got in, and...
What was the interview like?
Oh, very nice. We had a medical, and then we met Matron, who was a charming woman. And anyway, she had my sister there, who she highly approved of. So the interview was nothing to really remember.
So you were starting as a nurse or trainee nurse?
I started as a trainee nurse, yes.
And the hospital was St Mary's?
St Mary's, that's just outside Paddington Station. Of course it's still there.
And where were you living?
In the nurse's home.
Now,
we didn't live out in those days.
What was your reception when you started working there? Do you see what I mean? How did they sort of take you in? You arrive as a young girl from Wells. And
yes, that's right. Well, because it was wartime, they sent the...
The war
had actually started by the time I got there. I went there in January 1940. Until right. Then, of course, I'm missing out a bit, because during all those months when the war had really obviously been coming, and the time I went, we were doing all sorts of things here, like going to gas lectures and first aid lectures.
Tell us about that. That's the issue of gas masks and things like that. Tell us about that, the sort of precaution. That's in about 1939, 1938.
Yes, this is all good fun, because although one didn't like the idea of a war, we all knew each other here, and we all queued up for gas masks. And then we had lectures on gas and first aid, and they put us all through a lorry they brought, a van, which they had filled with gas, and they put us all through that in our gas masks, which we now know, of course, had asbestos in them. Must have been half killing us, I think. But that was all good fun. And these lectures we had, I came across the notes the other day telling us what the various gases smelt like. And one of the ladies the day before the exam put up her hand and said, could we please know the questions? So we all passed the exam. But I'm trying to think what else we did. There must have been lots of other things, an awful long time ago.
Were there any air raid precautions being taken before
yes.
the war started?
Oh, yes, of course. We were told about how to black out a room.
How were you? Tell me how you would do it.
I don't remember how you did it, but you had to have lots of black material. Well, of course, I was still living with my parents, and my mother bought enough black material for probably a couple of rooms, and thought, well, if the war didn't come, she didn't want all this black material, so she just bought enough for that. And I learned how to make a room really safe against gas and everything. And my mother decided she'd rather risk the gas than have this room ruined. So we plumped for that. My father, I might say, had been saying, I always said he and Churchill were the only two people who really knew this war was coming. But the day we knew Chamberlain was going to tell us whether war had started
it's
or
the
not.
The 3rd of September.
The 3rd of September. We were all, my sister was at home too, on leave. And my father obviously, I suppose, was upset or something. He took himself off to do something somewhere else and said, would I ring him after the broadcast? So we all sort of sat around. And we had a maid, and she came into the room with us, and we all sat there and listened. And then I rang him up and told him there was a war. And I remember he said, never mind, old lady, we'll give them the socks. But it was quite frightening, and I always said, I've heard how people cried, and I always think, we didn't cry. But I remember that evening, because we only had one room blacked out, and the whole house was in darkness, I tripped over something on the landing, and I really did dissolve into tears. My sister was the only person who knew, and she was always a very calming influence. And our mayor and mayoress had their golden wedding on that day. It was a Sunday. So they'd had a ball the night before. And that morning, we went to see them. Now, people always say it was raining, but it wasn't here. It was a lovely, crisp, cold day. And my sister and I went to see them, and they fed us on champagne, which I certainly wasn't used to. It's probably why I was crying.
Now, so what about after the Declaration of War? How did it change your life? You weren't working, you were still at home.
No, that's right. Oh, I know, one of the things I did. Us young people, we all went up to the local hospital and we dug up the lawn and we filled sacks, which the theological students, used to be a theological college here, they built up around the windows of the hospital. A little while later, I was in hospital with a poisoned arm. And I remember my father and the doctor, who hadn't realised I had anything to do with these sacks, they were looking out the window by my bed and they said, look at those sacks, they're no good at all, and they're all growing weeds. But we thought we were doing wonderful war work.
Now, tell us a bit about this air raid shelter, the concrete air raid shelter. It sounds quite unusual.
Yes, well, it was, I'm sure, would have withstood quite a lot, but we didn't use it much. But early in the war, we had an air raid at night. I mean, really early in the war, about the first or second day or something. And we all got up. And my father was away somewhere on business, I expect, but my mother and I, and the maid, we called her, and my mother had been very ill, so I grabbed an eiderdown, which I took down with me, there being no furniture or anything in there. And we waited for a long time, and then the maid still hadn't appeared. And I remember my bicycle was out. And we were told not to leave bicycles around because paratroopers could use them. But my mother wouldn't let me go out in case a paratrooper got me, I suppose. And then eventually this little maid appeared on the scene. And her hair, which we knew she always curled, was beautifully combed out. So she'd taken all this trouble, with presumably bombs falling, I don't know. And my mother said, oh no, the maid said, oh, I feel faint. And I said, no, you can't faint, I can't hold you up. And then my mother said she felt faint, so I sat her down on the eiderdown. Anyway, we got through that one all right.
Were you nervous? I mean, at the time, you must have thought it was a real raid.
Well, we did. And when there were raids here, we used to hear the bombs dropping on Bristol, which did happen quite early on. Well, I suppose so. But when you're as young as I was, it's really all a bit exciting, I think.
Now, what about another aspect of life that was changed? which is rationing, food and clothing rationing. How did that affect you?
Food wasn't rationed then, and clothes weren't rationed then.
This is too early in the war, isn't it?
It's too early in the war.
How did life change for you before you went to work as a nurse?
I don't think greatly, except that we all got together, and being a small place, we all knew each other and went to lectures. I tell you that already.
You mentioned the gas lectures.
Gas lectures and first aid lectures and how to make our houses proof against against gas, I suppose, mostly, and air raids, and what to do. There was a gas attack and how we'd get people into the house. And somebody I knew said she wasn't going to let all those dirty people into her house, which, of course, she would have, because she was a very kind lady. I don't think it changed very much.
Were you worried? Was your mother worried about you going to, because you were going to go to London?
I was going to go to London. My sister was already there. My parents wouldn't have let us know if they were worried. It was a war and we all had to do something.
Now, would the next thing be then when you go to as a trainee nurse to St Mary's Hospital, Paddington?
Yes, well, I didn't want to nurse, but it seemed a good way of getting a training and doing some war work all at the same time. So I managed to get accepted there and went off at the beginning of 1940.
Now, what was your reception when you got there? How did they sort you? I mean, you arrive as a sort of new girl on the block.
Arrived as a new girl, and we were all put into a room together. With all our luggage and stuff. And I was lucky because my sister was there and she greeted me. But we were all put into this room to wait for transport because the training school, which lasted for 3 months, was at Nettlebed in, oh Lord, I can't remember what county. Not terribly far from Reading. Is that Berkshire? Peter Fleming's house.
Now, what? Tell me about your training.
And so we went down. Well, I must tell you, this was a desperately cold winter, desperately cold. I mean, the whole time we were there, there was a lake in the garden, and we could skate on the lake if I hadn't had awful, terribly painful feet because I'd got bony things sticking out my heels and chilblains and I don't know what, but I did have my skates there. And as far as I could tell, there was no heating in the place at all. And in the morning, we'd have jugs of water, and we'd have to crack the water before we poured it out to wash with. It really was very, very cold. We had a sister tutor who was wonderful. How in the world she coped with that old house, I don't know. And a senior nurse, and I suppose there's some staff for cooking. But when we were put into coaches and we were taken down there, and the coach driver took us down this long drive, and there was a house looming, and of course there was no light showing. You weren't allowed to have a light showing, so it all looked very, very frightening, really. And then we all got out and he left, and there was dead silence, and the great looming house looked at us, and we all looked at one another and nervously giggled. And then we saw a door leading into a long glass passageway. And we could see in this glass passageway there were white figures. In fact, it was furniture covered up with white sheets. And it all looked terribly spooky and frightening. Eventually somebody said, well, we better go in. So we pushed the door and it went squeak. It was just like a horror film. And we went in and we pushed the next door. And it was a huge, great hall with few stags at bay heads on the wall, and a very charming nurse came to meet us, and she showed us where our rooms were, which were freezing cold, and then we were told to come for supper. And we went down, and my memory serves me probably badly, but I think all we had for supper were two sardines and a piece of toast each. Must have been more, but I really don't remember. We went to bed hungry that night, and then we had to learn how to wear our uniform.
Now, what uniform did you have? Was it given to you there, or had you already got?
No, we'd already had the material sent to us to have the dresses made to a certain pattern. I thought they were very attractive, tight fitting bodies, a gathered skirt, gathered at the back and flat on the front, big pockets, and a white apron, which had to be changed daily, and a stiff collar, stiff cuffs, and the cap, which looked lovely when it was done. It had to be made up every time it was washed. There'd be nurses, they had to be washed quite often, and they used to be sent off to the laundry. And a bit of it, the bit that stood up around the head, had to be starched. And the laundry used to splash the starch onto the bit that we had to gather up. We had to run the thread all the way through and gather it up each time we made up a new cap. And sometimes you couldn't get the needle in. You gradually gather the thing up and the cotton would snap and you'd have to start again. Imagine nurses. We didn't have the time, really, but we used to do this. But it looked good when it was finished.
So, bit of a nuisance, but you quite liked it. Now, what were your dormitory rooms, or the rooms like?
Well, when we were down there, at Joyce Grove, this place was called.
At Nettlebed, that's in Oxfordshire, yeah.
Oxfordshire, that's right. When we were there, we were just in the big bedroom. It's a strange house, because I think each room was a different period. I hope I've got that right, but I think so. And they were just big bedrooms. I think there were about five in my bedroom. And then some of us got German measles, so they had to put us into quarantine. And we stayed in our room, and they did actually light a fire then, but then the pipes burst because it was such a cold winter. And we had three buckets down the middle of the room going bing, bing, bing.
Now, what about your actual training? How did that start?
Oh, well, of course, we went to lectures and we learnt anatomy and so on and so forth. And we had a model person who we had to put on bedpans and make beds with. That poor thing went on so many bedpans, it wasn't true. And we had a skeleton called Jimmy. We had to learn all about him. But bear in mind that I didn't like nursing. I've forgotten most of it.
You weren't enjoying it.
I enjoyed the training school. After 3 months, we had an exam, which actually I did very well in. But some of us who'd had German measles, we were examined on what we had done, on conditions. We stayed at home. We stayed there while everyone else went on holiday, to make up what we'd missed. And it was pretty because it was my parents' silver wedding. But anyway, I stayed there. And then they took us all off to the hospital. And that was absolutely terrifying, I thought.
Now why? This would be what, April or March? 3 months?
January, February, March. I suppose it was the beginning of April. I can't remember. I'm nearly 85 now, and I was 19 then. It's a long time to remember.
So what was it like? Why was it terrifying?
Well, I perhaps I didn't all find it terrifying, but bear in mind I hadn't really wanted to nurse. I thought I'd kill everybody. I don't remember what happened when we first got there. There was a beautiful nurse's home there.
Now tell me about that. What was the nurse's home like?
Oh, well, that was all on secret lists as far as we were concerned, because we were put in the top floor of the hospital where we used to be locked in at night. There was a master key, and I suppose being an air raid, we were like, well, I suppose sister used to come and let us out. I don't know. We just frizzled, I don't know. But that had been the old nurse's home, and we each had a room there.
Well, what was your room like? Was it?
It was just I imagine now we think it was pretty awful. And communal bathroom. Later, the nurse's home couldn't have been better. It was absolutely lovely for its time, yes. I think the nurse's home probably was as good as a nice hotel in London at the time.
Now, so how did you start your duties as a newly trained nurse?
Well, we'd only done 3 months. We must have gone in one day, and I suppose Sister Tutor saw us, and the next day she took us all round to our wards, and mine was a men's surgical, and Sister met us. And I'm always told how nice she was. I just found her terrifying. she met us and she took us down through the ward, and it was after lunch. And after lunch, I subsequently knew that we used to make the beds tidy and all the people lay at attention, and they kept it tidy until, I don't know, something else happened to you, I suppose. But anyway, they were all lying there, and as we went down the ward, suddenly a figure reared up, and his eyes were popping out, and he was terribly thin. He was the thyroid case, in fact. And he said, "Bottle nurse." And I thought the moment anybody asked for anything, you jumped to it and did it, and said, "All right, Spicer." I've never forgotten his name. "All right, Spicer, in a minute." And he kept on saying, "Bottle nurse," and she kept saying, "All right, Spicer, in a minute." And she took us down through the ward. And then eventually she said to me, "Well, you can take a bottle to Spicer." And in fear and trembling, I went to the sluice room, which he'd shown us, and got this bottle and took it to Spicer. And, you know, he didn't even notice I was a new nurse and didn't know anything about it. So I thought, I've only got 4 years to do now.
So what were your duties then? What was a typical, you know, as you were introduced to your duties, what did you have to do as a young
nurse? We had to wash the patients, put them on bedpans, empty it all in the sluice room, serve meals, help when dressings and things were done. We'd go along and observe and help and so on at first. I don't know, it seems to take an awful lot of time. I don't really remember what else we did.
What about the patients? How did you get on with them?
Oh, they were lovely, most of them, yes. But I was frightened of them. In that ward, there was an old man who, the likes of which I had only ever seen, picking up cigarette ends in the street. And
he looked like a tramp.
Well, yes, he did look like a tramp. He probably was a tramp. But he had a cough, and every time he coughed, I thought he was going to attack me. It's quite stupid. I was supposed to be bed-bathing him. I was terrified of him. But he was a very nice old man. Incredible. I mean, I did get used to them, and I did. Some of them I really loved, yes.
Well, how did you react to the sort of, the smells and just the general grottiness of nursing life? Did you mind the sort of bedpans and
No, I didn't mind any of that, and they got sick on the floor. And, you know, sometimes they'd take their own bedpans out and they'd go upside down on the floor. Nothing of that upset me at all. I was absolutely terrified of the sisters, which perhaps was a bit unreasonable of me. But
now, why were you terrified of the sisters? What were they like?
I think they were very dedicated, very good women. It's a pity we don't have some of them now. But they were extremely strict, and they had us girls who I suppose we could have done a lot of damage, so they had to be very strict with us. But I think perhaps a bit unduly so sometimes.